here we go. A weak solidarity brekkie team listener when, as payers to use your roads, transfer your hard-earned fields, Westgate Tunnel goes lower. The only thing going lower is workers' wages and conditions, with labour hire companies, isn't this hard to believe, but ripping workers off big time. Well, obviously it must be the complicated ambiguity of the award, with the company they're actually working for having no idea there is a problem. Poor Boral's Profit, for instance, even had no idea that two labour hire firms it used were not even registered, even though the workers who clearly were not employed by Boral's Profit wore Boral uniforms and worked while other unionised workers were taking protected industrial action. If the word wasn't illegal, subject to fines in the millions, we might suggest they are scabs, but as law-abiding citizens, we wouldn't dare. And anyway, they're not, because the law says they're not. But all this must have come as a hell of a shock to poor Boral Liz, which said it was unaware of it and would look into it. Well, nothing could be fairer than that. Although, isn't it irresponsible not to know the wages and conditions of your workers? Well, strictly speaking, they weren't our workers in your uniforms. Yeah, that's a condition of them not working for us. But look, not knowing is not nearly as irresponsible as admitting we did know. The tunnel builders, including the highly reputable John Hole Profits Land, set up a concrete manufacturing plant in Benalla for panels in the tunnel. A mob called Rocktown hired to do the job, and would you believe a labour hire mob hired 10 Chinese workers for $30 an hour, 60-hour week with no entitlements, and poor John Hole Profit Land and Rocktown, for whom they were working, again had absolutely no idea the workers were being ripped off. And in fact, once the proverbial hit the fan, assured us the problem was being addressed. Our oversight procedures on engagement may have had some deficiency, they understated. And yeah, it is possible there might have been some deficiency. But there'll be no deficiencies in workers' lives when they, if they, elect a Socialist Party government, as Socialist Party Supremo and would-be Big Supremo Anthony Albanese addressed an annual Filthy Rich of the Filthy Rich Caring Business Class Talkathon sponsored by the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review, telling the filthy rich they had nothing to fear from a socialist government which would mirror the, in parentheses, reforms of the nuclear hawk, world's greatest worst treasurer, Paul, socialist governments. Music to the ears of an audience that constantly advises the Socialist Party to clone this great reformist government, which brought us all the cornucopia of neoliberal economics and the beautiful trickle-down effect, those much-appreciated drops of yellow liquid compensating lazy, avaricious workers for patriotic sacrifices like a little wage freeze. And Anthony would also outspend the caring business class, hayseed and sheepshit government on trained killing, on feeding the coppers of the merchants of death. So why wouldn't workers to whom Anthony devotes his every waking hour support a socialist government? In the wake of the public transport lockout in New South Wales, which highlighted Big Supremo Scuttlebem Moore Lashson, a.k.a. Scummo's propensity for fact-checking and accuracy, bit of background. In a related matter we commented on recently, those reports from financial consulting behemoth KP on the customers MG, one for the Treasury, which wants to transfer public transport to a for-profit commercial entity, getting it off the state budget, and a second report for the department, which wants it to remain as is. The first report telling Treasury its plan would save billions, the second telling the department as is would save billions. And this week, KP on the customer Supremo Andrew Yates defended the quality, independence and integrity of the work. KP on the customers rejects any suggestion there was a conflict of interest. Both reports were completed accurately within scope. But there was a 29 or so billion difference depending which department they were copping money from. But apparently it was not a matter of telling the client what the client wants to hear. It was integrity. Don't let the right hand know what the right hand's doing, but accurate? Well, that's what Andrew assured us, and I'm sure he's an honourable man. Why, he was probably at the business talkathon this week whipping up a few more clients to whom he can provide an accurate report based on integrity. And when he also talked of quality and independence. Good point, given there was a mere 29 billion difference based on identical data. Now, we can be critical of the government, coming from our totally biased position, our claims that they can be a bit loose with the truth, but that ad about rubbish, 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 with Scummo and the team boasting their environmental credentials, in this case, we have to give them top marks for honesty about their environmental credentials. On their honesty, last week we cracked a very funny joke that the Minister for Sports Rorts, Bridget McKenzie, was in charge of handing out support for flood victims, and let's hope they live in a government or marginal seat. Oh, very funny. But as it turned out, it was no joke. She's learned nothing, or everything, depending how you look at it. Her much-admired hayseed and sheepshit party leader, Barnicle, attacked those who suggested declaring government seats as national emergencies and not Socialist Party seats was yet another example of pork barrelling, pointing out the recommendations were made independently of the minister. Sure, like the independent sports grants recommendations, which Bridget totally ignored. That seems a bit ambitious award of the week to the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin Monday, special 12-page Shane Warne lift-out, as well as page after page elsewhere, with the big headline, Arise, King Warney. And I thought, he's eulogised as a god of spin, but surely Arise, even from Lord Rupert, is pretty ambitious. Still, maybe, after all, a cricket aficionado with no talent, the little bald-headed bloke who used to be Big Supremo back in those dark ages, described himself as Lazarus. Lazarus with a triple bypass, he droned. Although, since then, it's the workers and unions who have suffered the pain. Then again, the old Lord Rupert himself, a king of spin, may have decided he really is godlike, as 2 days after the Arise King Warney bit, a photo of Elvis and Elvis, direct from Graceland. Now, that really would be something. One of the several million photos shows the spin king playing poker and laughing and joking with Crook Casino Supremo Jamie Puker, and I thought, isn't it good that Jamie can laugh and joke this week, as he would have been one of the crook directors decreed by the corporate regulator to be not crook, assured he would face no charges over the few little problems exposed by the sundry Her Most Gracious Majesty's con missions and inquiries into the casino. Honourable, innocent Jamie. By the way, that 12 pages over and above wasn't the end of it. 8-page special lift out the next day, and then 8-page special lift out the very next day again, and then 8-page lift out the very, very next day again, and yesterday again, plus, of course, lots of other page after pages. We all know he was a bloody great bowler, but coverage day after day far exceeding the climate taking its revenge and Alexander Putin the train killers being vengeful, perhaps just a touch excessive. We would have thought just maybe anthropogenic unnatural disaster in a cocktail of World War III might be just a little more important. Although given Lord Rupert knows there is no such thing as climate change, anthropogenic or otherwise, and therefore no such thing as unnatural disasters, better to serve up a bread and circuses. Let them eat cake and other mixed metaphors. Truly important egalitarian enjoyment like Fashion Week. Week after week after week. And for goodness sake, let's not make the mistake of calling this weekend Labor Day when we all know it's Moomba. Let's get together and have fun, fun, fun. The last thing we need is evil unions and brainwashed evil workers spoiling our fun, fun, fun by upsetting poor, caring employers who, after all, rack their brains day after day, toss and turn night after night, seeking a solution to their biggest worry. It's probably all they talked about at the Talkfest. Slow wages growth. Obviously, just paying workers more money is no solution. Well, they know the solution, higher productivity, so it's the worker's own fault. As the caring employers constantly hope for the time to be right for workers to get a pay rise. Yes, when you decide the time is right, how many times will that be that the time is right? Top of the head, I'd say that would be the first. Industry profits group Supremo Innes Will Cost the Workers spoke for them. So you've never considered over the centuries that there is a case for a wage rise, that the time is right. Which exposes what we are up against, exposes what we all know, the out-of-control greed and avarice of evil unions and evil workers making such unrealistic demands. Like wanting to be paid? Exactly. One man's pay is another caring employer's profit. One man's pay, sure, but as women argued on International Women's Day, that one woman's pay is generally lower than one man's pay for equal work, I've got no idea what they're talking about. Why, I can recall back in the early 70s celebrating equal pay. Relentless campaigners like Zelda Duprano chaining herself to just about everything, winning the battle. So I don't follow. Okay, there might have been a phasing in period, and these things take time. Caring employers need time to adjust, to make the proper arrangements, and it's only been 50 years, but goodness me, it is the law, and caring employers have great respect for the law. A Socialist Party right power broker and senator, and right in the Socialist Party is saying something, given they tell us Anthony Albanese is left, Senator failed to see out IWD Week and tribute said it all. For instance, ScoMo praised her. One Notion's Pauline Hoonson praised her. Former Big Supremo Tiny A Bit More For The Bosses said she was a true patriot who had so much more to give. So much more to give. And from the caring business class party's far right, James Patterson, who served with her on the Trained Killer Committee, said she was a friend of freedom, as in the liberty, freedom and democracy the US of the UN of the US of the world brings to the free world, the freedom of capital. So that's our tribute. Other than, after this week, we recommend all 52-year-olds head off immediately for a cardiovascular test. Finally, on such dedicated socialists, C-State Sports Minister Martin Pack Your Bags Eula is packing his bags for our mother country to put our case for the Her Most Gracious Majesty's Wealth Games. An invaluable trip, given we are the only place that wants it, and there's no other applicants, and the Games Committee breathed a sigh of relief when we said OK, it makes for a pretty onerous junket. Hard-working business trip for Martin. After all, the only alternative to guaranteeing the games was to stay at home and do nothing, rather than go to England to do nothing. Good morning.